The views and opinions expressed by the guests, callers, and hosts on this and all Rents Radio Network programs do not necessarily reflect or agree with those of the network, its commercial sponsors, its radio station affiliates, or internet broadcast platforms. In these controversial times, we believe the First Amendment and freedom of the press are absolutely essential to the survival of our nation. Thank you. And now, enjoy the program.
Okay, welcome back. It's Wednesday, and something unprecedented is going on in this country. The most overt, obvious, blatant demonstration of massive control of the media is now underway. Yesterday, many of you remember, and I mentioned this multiple times yesterday, on the site and on the program, almost all of the mainstream media have been barred, banned, blocked, and blacklisted from covering what's going on with Ukraine and Russia. There was virtually zero coverage yesterday. ABC, NBC, CBS, Fox, CNBC, MSNBC, not a word yesterday about the six missiles launched against Bryansk, Russia, by the Ukrainians and the Americans. Remember, the ATACMS missiles cannot be launched by Ukrainians. They don't have the ability to program them. They don't have the satellite military data to plug into the missiles to tell them where to go. That's all being done by us over there. Today, this morning, and I looked and looked, and nobody but CNN is covering the story. 14 more missiles, cruise missiles, Storm Shadow missiles were launched against Russia today. It's blacked out. I just, 20 minutes ago, went through all the major networks again. NBC, CBS, ABC, Fox, nothing. MSNBC, CNBC, nothing, nothing. It's all blacked out. They're not allowed to cover it. CNN is covering it. Probably the lowest ratings of any of the mainstream media platforms. Why are the Americans being kept in the dark so obviously, so blatantly? 14 more missiles today. Now, I have video taken on the ground about a couple hundred yards away from the missile impacts, 14 of them, a video taken by a Russian on a phone, a cell phone. I'm going to put that up here shortly. And I also just came across a video taken from a helicopter showing the 14 missiles impacting in the same area. It's a bunch of trees, at least it was. Apparently some kind of a military installation there. And 14. And now we have a full green light for Russia to launch World War III. Nuclear war. The red line, again, stomped on, laughed at, mocked by the West. Putin said any incoming missiles into Russia will mean that we can, I'm paraphrasing, we can respond with thermonuclear weapons. So that door is now wide open, thanks to the O'Biden-Harris regime. It's not good out there. All right, so there you go. You're up to speed on that. There's, an unprecedented blackout covering all the mainstream media with the exception of CNN. This story is not being reported yesterday or today. 14 more missiles today launched by the Americans from Ukraine. And the Russians know precisely how it's being done. All right, we'll leave that on the shelf until next hour. We're going to go into it in more detail then. In fact, I'm going to play that video, and you'll hear all the impacts of the missiles from about 100 yards away. William Gein is back with us tonight. William, how are you doing, and are things settling into any kind of a recognizable pattern yet that you can begin to scheme upon?
Well, I was refreshing it up on the news right before coming on the show, and the program, and I caught a Fox News clip on YouTube that was talking about two NATO countries that are warning their civilian population to prepare for possible nuclear war.
Sweden and Finland.
And they're passing out pamphlets about how to kiss your ass goodbye if the nukes fall or whatever.
That's right.
Duck and cover.
It actually happened on Sunday, but yes, or Monday, I believe it was now. You're right. And but there's no mention of six missiles yesterday, 14 more today, guided missiles. Remember, the Attackums are hypersonic. The Storm Shadow are not. They're subsonic, nonetheless.
Well, the American public just, by a large mandate, voted for to move away from this kind of thing. And
that's
Harris
right.
and Biden are responding, by administration responding by moving us further into the very thing that the American public tried to vote itself out of. So the question before us is, how do we stop the Harris-Biden Democrat administration from getting us into nuclear war, War 3, before Trump takes office? Because that's pretty evident what they're trying to do. He's authorized those long-range missiles. He's also authorized landmines. They're going to try to pump all sorts of money in there.
Right.
Maybe they just want to, like, bog the Trump administration down, or maybe they want to go all the way and figure that they can continue to run the flaming, tattered shreds of the country from their bunkers.
Don't know.
You know?
All I do know is I've never seen a nationwide blackout on a story like I'm seeing with this one. None of the networks, I repeat, Fox, CBS, NBC, ABC, MSNBC, CNBC, nothing as of an hour ago. Nothing. Yesterday, nothing. This morning, nothing. Only CNN is covering the story. Is CNN defying the deep state and saying, screw you, we're going to report the news? I don't know. Or are they being allowed to? But it doesn't exist. Therefore, most of America is not fully up to speed on this crisis. 14 more missiles today.
Well, a lot of the networks you just mentioned, their viewership has imploded since the election and the victory of Donald Trump. And there's also talk of mass layoffs and layoffs of key personalities. But, you know, in those networks, it was proven in the 2024 elections, they don't have the influence and control they once had because of the podcasters and the YouTubers and the people who are doing these shows and stuff, that like a third of the people are getting their information through other sources and their news through other sources now. So, you know, it's their hegemony isn't what it once was. So they can not report on it if they want to, but I can tell you who's going to. People who want views, people who want the attention of people who are concerned. They're going to recover it. People are going to be talking about it. But the question becomes, what are we going to do about it? And I think the most important thing is that Congress must act. Representative Thomas Massey said it very clearly, that these are illegal acts of war that Biden is committing by launching practically U.S. proxy launching these long-range missiles into Russia are acts of war not authorized by Congress. But Congress has to assert itself here. The first thing Congress needs to do is meet and pass a resolution condemning what Biden just did. Condemn the action. Send the Russians a message that this isn't us. This isn't what we want to do. This isn't what our people want. This isn't what our elected officials want.
The Russians know that. They're very sophisticated.
Well, whether they do or not, we need to send them a very clear and loud and officious message.
Trump should be yelling from the highest rooftop he can get to about this right now.
Well, and so should Representative Mike Johnson in his official capacity, as well as as Thune. They need to call a resolution forth and condemn Biden's actions and start taking action, because Congress has the power to rein in the executive, and that's what they need to be doing. But, you know, I mean, I can't do a release tomorrow. I mean, I could do a press release. Alipac's got to raise $10,000 before the end of the year to make it to into 2025. So we've got to do a major refueling. There's a lot of things we didn't pay for that we pushed back so we could focus on the elections, focus on winning, because if we didn't win in those elections, none of this was going to matter anyway. We did win in those elections, and now we got to refuel. But refueling's not going to help us or anybody else if the half the nation's on fire. So we need people calling Congress tomorrow, or congressional representatives, and demanding. We need staffers telling their lawmakers that people are calling, demanding that Congress do something to stop Biden's illegal acts of war against Russia. I mean, that needs to happen. People need to be on it. They need to be on it. I mean, I'm glad I'm reading about Rep. Massey, and you're probably reading about some other leaders that are saying something, and sure, Trump might say something, but, you know, people need to speak out. I mean, I wish there could be some type of anti-war march on the Capitol, but nobody can do that. Nobody has the power and influence to. I mean, the only person that could do that would be Trump, and, you know, he can't. He shouldn't tell anybody. I don't think Trump should have an inauguration. I think that Donald Trump should ask for a small ceremony inside the Oval Office that's broadcast out through a singular video feed for close friends and family and lawmakers only. And get to work. I don't think there needs to be any singing or dancing or selling of tickets. And I think it would be grossly irresponsible for Donald J. Trump to ask any of his supporters to come to Washington, D.C. at this time.
Well, I think so. I think history, January 6th, anybody? No, they make a pageant out of everything. It's all showbiz. And I think you have a point there. It should be a very small ceremony, a single video feed out, let everybody carry it. Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah, second marriage, no big ceremony. Just get to, you know, a couple of close friends and family members. Get to work.
Sure. Now there's so much work to be done. It's really quite daunting. I don't know if we're going to make it
there.
To the
I mean, we may not get there if they provoke the Russians enough to able to create a scenario and then declare emergency war powers. Trump's not going in the Oval Office.
You see, Vladimir Putin right now, if he doesn't act in a very decisive manner on a big scale, not necessarily internationally, but something big, his people will begin to lose faith and confidence in him. It's that bad now. Too many red lines have been mocked. This one now, 20 missiles in 2 days fired into Russia with American, UK, and French assistance. They have to have it to target the actual weapons that are being fired. If they're not targeted properly, they're not going to hit anything. And those targeting all comes from the U.S. in terms of the ATACMS and the Storm Shadow, which is also a SCALP, S-C-A-L-P, French missile. It's kind of a combination, Storm Shadow, SCALP. At any rate, 14 today, all targeted, obviously by either the U.K. or France or both. And yesterday's were targeted by Americans. American, U.S. military. That's what's going on. How much will the Russians be really reasonably expected to absorb before they do something big? Don't know.
Well, I mean, if they were going to retaliate with nukes, drop them on the Zelensky and just end it. I mean, the Russians could have ended this thing, you know, for a long time now. They could have dropped more. One tactical nuke. They didn't have to nuke all of Kiev. This one tactical nuke on wherever Zelensky is, and the fight is over.
Well, you know the obvious answer to that as to why that hasn't happened is he's protected. That's a fact. They could have taken him out 150 times just in the last 6 months. If they had been able to, they haven't. They can take him out any time. He's protected.
Well, I think also part of the thing is I think the Russians have not wanted to get too heavy-handed with the Ukrainians because they've been friends, neighbors, and family overlap. It has a lot of components of a civil war, a type of civil war situation.
Yeah. Let me suggest that that's a very good observation, but We must mention over 1 million Ukrainians have been killed now in the 1,000 days that the war has been going on, and over 60,000 Russian troops, soldiers, have been killed in the last 1,000 days of this war. How many wounded altogether? Several hundred thousand Russians, perhaps. Maybe 500,000 or 1 million Ukrainians. Maybe 3 million. We don't know. It's all been hushed up, of course. It's not talked about. But we got 160,000 dead Russians, to the best of my calculations, and 1 million-plus dead Ukrainians in the last 1,000 days of fighting.
Yep, and there's a certain group of globalists on the planet that are glad to see the deaths on both sides. While they make money off selling the weapons. They make money from the weapons that go in, and more dead white Christians than any other place on the planet. They love it.
Got it. Okay, so let's take a look, step back a little, at Trump's appointments so far. We got the Gates controversy. There's a lot to talk about. We don't know how many of these people are going to actually be. I don't know if they're going to be emplaced in their designated slots or not by the Congress. We'll have to wait and see. I don't know.
Let's talk about mass deportations, can we?
Oh, well, that's the bigger story, because the U.S. military is obviously going to be needed for that. So go ahead.
Well, I tell you, I've seen that batted around. I see where Senator Rand Paul, and as we just polled our people to make sure that everybody's where we think that they are, because, I mean, you know, it makes sense that ALIPAC has been pushing for full enforcement of America's existing border and immigration laws, which means deportation. And we went ahead and surveyed our people and said, do you support mass deportation of illegals? 95.2 of our ALIPAC.us supporters said yes. 4.8% said yes, but only the ones who have raped or killed Americans. And 0% said no. Now, that's a very small fraction that says 4.8. And I hope that they'll reconsider, because the illegals have to go home whether they've raped or killed an American already or not, because it's the only thing that will turn off illegal immigration into this country. And it's also the only thing that satisfies American laws in Article 4, Section 4 of the U.S. Constitution. And it is also the only thing that can defuse this plot to turn America into a single-party Democrat socialist state permanently ever after. So the illegals have to go home. And telling an American citizen that we only deport the illegals after they rape or kill somebody you care about is not satisfactory. You know, I can understand the feelings of that little 4.8%, but, you know, we found out of the people responding, 48% have been supporting ALIPAC only as a reader. 19.2% have been supporting us as an online activist, 14.4% as a donor, and 16% as both a donor and activist. Only 2.4% of the people taking the survey said they didn't support us at all. So, Here's the thing, though.
How do you feel after looking at those stats?
Well, I'll tell you how I feel when we get to Christmas. If we raise the $10,000 we need to pay for everything that we've, all the expenses we've racked up in the elections and the thing. So, but on the topic of troops, there's so many things that ALIPAC can do here on the topic of mass deportations now that we actually have a possible chance. I'm not saying what percentage of a chance, but now that we have a possible chance at what ALIPAC's been working for 20 years, is actually a pathway where it could happen, we have a lot of things to give. And one of the things we have to give is, you know, the community support. This is much more likely to happen if there's groups like ALIPAC out here doing the type of things to offer public support to lawmakers and the Trump administration and the people who are going to have to put their hands on some illegal aliens and bust them out of here. We need organized public support campaigns. The other place that we can help out a lot is with some suggestions and strategies, because this isn't the first time we've considered mass deportations. And I can tell you, I don't think we need troops to do it. It's exciting to talk about troops to do it. It gathers news headlines, and the polls are showing people like, use them all. But we don't. The place that we need the military, Jeff, is on the borders. the U.S. military should be sent to the border under the instructions by the executive branch that right. a fox does not walk across that border at night without them knowing about it. And if people, foreign nationals, citizens of other countries, are trying to illegally enter the United States at both our ports of entry and along the border, then they need to be apprehended by the U.S. military and put into some facilities before processing back out of here. And I think that some tent cities like Sheriff Joe Arpaio is still going. He would make a great consultant putting together some very affordable accommodations. I think that illegal immigrants should be fed and treated humanely and receive proper medical attention if they need it and all of those things, but they don't need four-star hotels. They need tents and pink underwear and bologna sandwiches and no cigarettes and no phones.
Yeah, I don't think they deserve anything. Nothing.
Yeah, well, I think that if we're going to deport
them,
and we're going to secure...
of their own volition. They knew what they were coming into. They knew they were breaking the law. They knew what they were doing. They should just be ejected, period. Done.
Yeah, well, we're going to eject them, but sometimes we're going to have to store them beforehand, and if we let their arms rot off or we mistreat them or anything like that, the press is going to get it, and then they're going to put it in. Well, it can happen. Or
they'll
say it happened.
Press is going to go against it anyhow. You know that.
Yeah, I know, but I'm saying we don't give them any ammunition. I'm telling you, listen, I tell you what, I know what we need to do. We need the troops on the border, and we need humane yet uncomfortable storage positions for the ones that we have to repatriate further back out to Mexico. I'd love to see Sheriff Joe Arpaio do it, similar to his tent cities that were so effective.
He would be a good man. He kind of deserves it because of all the good things he did do. I agree.
Yep.
I like the guy.
Let me tell you one thing.
Let me finish real quick,
so we can deport the illegals without using troops by doing the following. One, establish points of exit along, one for each state on the southern border and in the major airports in Seattle, Baltimore. You know, there's a place where illegals can present themselves and they and their entire families and their belongings and their assets can leave. If we have to get them, their assets will be seized. So they have an incentive to leave on their own volition through self-deportation.
Right. I think both can be done with no stress, no strain at all on the U.S. military. We have overseas right now about 350,000 U.S. men and women in uniform serving abroad. If we only brought back 10% of those 35,000 armed troops, we could secure the border. With high tech, with a garrison of 6 every half mile, nobody gets across. End of story. And that's not using any of our troops that are based here in the U.S. That's just bringing 10% home from abroad, where they shouldn't be anyway. That's just one way to go. But anyway, whatever it takes, they've got to be removed, period. If that happens, it'll make world history. Think about it.
Let's do it. Let's make world history.
Yeah, well, I think most Americans, not all, but most, are certainly in agreement with that.
It's not going to happen just sitting there. It's not going to happen there just hoping somebody else does it. Make sure, you know, it's not going to happen.
We can't do it until January 20th, but it should be put in action the very first day he's in office.
Well, we're hearing that the illegals are already leaving places like Springfield, Ohio, and other places. I think there's a good chance that the illegal alien population could be encouraged to start self-deporting before Trump's even sworn into office.
Well, whatever it takes, scare them. Tell them. You stay here, you're going to end up in a labor camp for the next 5 years. Whatever. Otherwise, get the hell out. Okay. What was I going to ask you now? Something.
Well, okay.
I thought I heard it. I didn't know it came and went. All right. Well, let's take a break. We'll do that and come back. I do want to talk about Gates and some of the other nominees. Gates is, to me, dirty. I don't like him. I don't think he's the right man for the job at all. That's just my take. Let's find out what Allie Pack feels about that after this. Hold on. Okay. And welcome back. I'm sure all of you would have your own list, and depending on which side of the aisle you're on, of what you'd like to see Trump do first after January 20th. I would probably suggest something, not necessarily in any particular order, but the three things that need to be done immediately. Phone Vladimir Putin, tell him we are pulling out of Ukraine, end that. Pull the trigger on the completed plan to deport 20 to 30 million invaders. They should be planning this right now, exactly how they're going to do it. It should be ready to go on January 20th. And then immediately release and pardon every January 6th person who is in prison or jail right now or who has been harmed, and beg them. I'd like to see Trump on his knees begging them for forgiveness for not releasing them and pardoning them before he left office in 2020. That was outrageous to me. So those three things would lead my list. And tell us yours if you want, or let's go into the nominees and talk about the confirmation derby that's going to commence on January 20th.
Well, he promised everyone that he's going to begin immediately the largest deportations in American history, and that it better start. It better not be like the DACA thing he didn't do on his first day or ever. And, of course, the big thing where Alipak's going to have to weigh in, and we're already seeing this, AOC says the answer is amnesty. Salazar, she's got a human dignity bill or whatever. The game we got to watch out for here is, okay, so we removed 10 to tens of thousands of illegals who have raped and killed somebody while here. But now let's think about all the other ones that are left, because if we deport them, it's going to lower real estate prices, it's going to increase American wages, it's going to, you know, have all these impacts on the economy that very wealthy big corporations might not like or will not like, and could have some hardships and things like that. So let's come up with a plan that's not amnesty and it's not citizenship, but it changes the law where they're no longer required to be deported under our laws. People are like, well, maybe I could go for that. I mean, you know, they get to stay, but they don't get to vote. And they don't hear William Gein say, hold it. Courts won't let Congress create second-class citizenship. If you suckers do that, one judge is going to make them all citizens. Watch. So if they get that bill through, and we're like, it's amnesty. No, it's not amnesty. It's just it's a new thing we came up with where they don't get the vote and all this other stuff. And one judge comes in and says, Proposition 187, Congress shall not create a second class of citizenship. These people are all citizens that have the right to vote. Gavel down. Boom. How could we have ended up here? Instead of mass deportations, most of the illegals became voters, just like the plan was all along. That's what the globalists and the elites in the D.C. swamp intends to happen here. And we got to be on guard about it. I mean, we didn't expect to be fighting against amnesty halfway through the Trump administration, but we were.
Like Donald DACA, Trump's. Like DACA, we never forget. We can't forget what was not done during his first term. He's got to be held accountable for all of his promises and pledges. He's not dictator.
Well, we can overlook the problems of the first administration if he Well, I can if he deports 20 million illegal aliens. You know what? Let's call
it
even.
If that isn't necessarily there.
Because
of DACA.
I
don't trust anything. Actions speak louder than words.
I'm not saying trust it, Jeff. I'm saying if he deports 20 million illegals like he's promised us to do, I'm not worried about DACA and his first term anymore.
Well,
that's all
I'm
worried about.
It has to do with breaking promises and standing up and saying that vax, which has killed millions of Americans, in my view, is a wonderful, beautiful vaccine. I think the man has real problems, and I'm not going to overlook those. But that's fine. I get what you're saying.
Well, I haven't heard him talk about vaccines in a while. I get the impression that he's starting to read the room and understand that talking about the vax was not a good idea.
I just posted on X the other day, one of his distant relatives, so to speak, it's one of the... There's three sisters. There's actually three. Yeah, they're three Jordanian sisters. Neshawa, right? All right. Anyway, she's the formal. She's the sister of Mike Waltz's bride. Mike Waltz is married to Julia Neshawat, and the other Neshawat is a doctor. She's on Fox News as a medical commentator, and she underscored everything Trump said about bragging about warp speed and the vaccines in an ex post, I believe it was yesterday. So he's not distancing himself from it. That's a secondhand endorsement and a reiteration of what he's been saying. We'll see. I don't know how he and Robert Kennedy are going to square things up on that. It's going to be very interesting to watch.
Well, you know, it is going to be interesting to watch. And another place that people are going to need to rally around is getting the confirmations done. And you may not like all the confirmations. And if anybody is like an amnesty rhino, like, you know, Rubio, it's tempting to fight against it. But you got to be careful, because if nominees start getting blocked, then a lot of, if they develop a mechanism to block any of them, they're going to start blocking a lot of them and paralyze the Trump administration.
Well, we can't rule anything out, William. That's my take. I don't trust any of it. I'm watching very carefully, but I don't trust him.
Well, the people out there,
Trump done the Constitution enough, and I'm sick of it.
Well, the people out there that obviously became engaged enough in the 2024 elections with their donations, activism, voting, and attention to these matters were enough to overcome the Harris-Biden-Democrat political machinery. So they were able to do all that. But what has to happen now is that has to stay engaged. People have to stay engaged. The groups have to stay engaged. You can't just vote and say, yay, my guy won, and then sit down, because that's not going to do it. You got to hold his hand every step of the way. You got to guard it. You got to get it there. You got to keep working it. You got to not stop. Every day is election day. Yeah, you got to be on it, and that's what we got to do. I mean, hopefully we get to raise a glass with some friends and family for Thanksgiving next week, and not get nuked because of Biden before then. Not have a nuclear Thanksgiving. Haven't been able to make my collards here in the South because we haven't had a frost yet. It's November 20th, and no frost yet.
Is that pretty rare?
Yeah. I couldn't tell you the exact numbers, but we usually have our first frost by November 5th, and we think it's going to frost across a good portion of the state in the middle part of the state. And, you know, I'm not talking about the mountains and the higher elevations, but we think the middle part of the state that we might get some frost Friday night. I mean, the low predicted for Friday night is right on 32, but we don't usually pick our collards and start cooking them until there's been a real hard freeze, because it changes the plant some way. It makes them change, and they're sweeter and more tender. You know, some people will take some smaller amounts of collard greens and actually put them into the freezer. Uh-huh. You can take some leaves and put them in the freezer, but I can't put any leaves in a freezer unless I bought a freezer just for collard plants, because I probably, well, you know...
You've already got a freezer for pork shoulder, so I don't know how many freezers you have.
Oh, and I got a nice shoulder, too. As soon as it stops raining tomorrow, I'm going to roll my smoker out in the driveway, and I'm going to put that pork shoulder on there about 11 o'clock tomorrow and let it smoke and simmer at about 250 degrees until about 6:30 tomorrow night. I'm going to take that thing off. It's going to be like falling off the bone.
Wow.
Get in there and mix it up with some fresh slaw.
Sounds like Thanksgiving early, huh?
Well, you know, Thanksgiving is right around the corner. I mean, it's, you know, 1 week from today, pretty much. It's 1 week from today is Thanksgiving Eve. So, you know, we're here. We're at it. But I'm just glad that, you know, if the Democrats had won on this program tonight, would probably be my wrap-up with you. It'd probably be the... Yeah, we're just trying to pay off a few last-minute things, and we're going to go ahead and close it.
We'd say
we're already turned off the auxiliary
sites. Heading off into the North Carolina sunset. I got it.
Well, no reason to ask people to go vote for anybody again. I mean, you know.
No, that would be true. Here's the deal. The country's split in half, literally. 76 million voted for Trump. 74 million voted for Harris. That's a 50-50 split. So I don't know what's going to happen to the half the country that's communist. I don't know what they're going to do. So I don't rule out anything like you mentioned in Congress, some kind of trickery, deception through the courts, through judges. I don't know. This country could just be taken apart piece by piece faster than it currently is being taken apart. But one looks at the totals, 74 million for Harris, 76 million for Trump. That's pretty damn close. And how much of it is fake? I don't know. But it's close.
Well, I think a lot of skullduggery got stopped in this election. And I think some of those 11 million missing Democrat votes came from Democrats not showing up. And some
They were fiction. I don't believe they were real votes, that 10 million, 11 million, whatever it was. I think those were the actual votes used to throw the election. We're supposed to think that Biden got 81 million votes when Trump got 76 million, which is the most, I think, of any Republican candidate ever. Anyway, we'll see. We will see. So you need 10,000 by the end of the year, by January 1st?
Yes. Yeah, there's some payroll taxes and bills that have accumulated. And, I mean, there's our basic budget. I put together the math the other day.
I'm sure you'll get a check from Numbers USA or one of the other.
Well, you know, I'm not going to complain about it too much, but I haven't gotten my check from Elon Musk. Elon owes me a check for a lot of the people I got to sign the petition.
That should be worth a few thousand dollars, I would think, when you get it.
Well, we'll see. Maybe it'll come before. Maybe it'll be like Clark Griswold's Christmas bonus and show up before Christmas. But you know, it was for a good cause, and it wasn't the purpose of it. You know, but I will say that, you know, with Allipac, we've got to raise that 10 grand to be able to even function into 2025, and I'm hoping that people will come forward and support us early, because I really don't want to have to be asking for money on top of Christmas and Christmas Eve and stuff like that, you know, but I'll do what I got to do, but, you know, I'm hoping that we can get the support to come forth now.
People are getting that Musk money already, aren't they, some of them?
I've heard of some people getting some checks, but I really couldn't tell you. I don't know if the thing functioned as well as it should have. One of the things I really thought was going to happen would be that we'd get some emails, calls, and or text messages from the Musk Super PAC, the America PAC, but I don't recall seeing any of those. You know, he gave away like $1 million here and there and to some daily people, and you know, but I don't know what all happened with that.
All right, let's take a look at these nominations now, appointments by Trump. What are your thoughts? Gates, Attorney General?
I like a lot of what I've heard Matt Gaetz say in committee meetings, like grilling the FBI and such on, like, you know, Hunter Biden laptop stuff, things like that. But I don't know him personally. I think he hangs out with Representative Luna, who supported
Trump admitted
amnesty.
Trump admitted today that Gates may not be confirmed. They're pushing very hard now to try to break down the negatives, and there are quite a few negatives, apparently. So we'll see.
Well, and, you know, the rhinos in the Senate, that's going to be a big problem. You know, that's where there's going to be a very big problem, rhinos in the Senate. And
Have they planned McConnell's going away party yet, do you think?
I don't know, but I'm looking forward to not having to hear from him anymore.
I never want to see that face or hear that voice again either. That was my
pleasure. And thank you, Lord Jesus, that we do not have to look at or hear the voice of that cackling witch Kamala Harris for the next 4 years. That right there is a blessing I'll take.
Well, that would have driven a lot of people to suicide, I think.
It would have driven a lot of good people just to tune out and completely, you know,
drop out
them.
And vanish. They'd be gone.
Something.
Okay. How about any other of the appointments that Allipac likes? You're high on?
Well, definitely Tom Homan. You know, Tom Homan's really.
That may be the best. You know what his family had to do, right?
What's that?
Well, they had to leave their home. Death threats.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, Tom Homan, he seems really solid, and definitely happy about him. And he's the only one that I would really, you know, comment on at this particular time. I mean, I'm happy about Elon Musk having a role with Vivek, and I hope that they can do some good. I hope that that Tulsi Gabbard is successful with what she's taken on. I hope they're all successful. I hope all of them are successful with what their stated goals are. And one of the things I like about Matt Gaetz is how apoplectic the left went when he was nominated, because that's what you need. You need an attorney general that is willing to do it. Go after it. Don't mess around with it. Don't get some overly mellow, you know, person in there or something. You know, you get kidding.
Well, he's got obstacles to overcome. I'm not knocking anything you're saying, of course, because it's true. But he's got those two women who have money orders that they cashed. He flew them to New York, took them to a Broadway play, and took them, apparently, to bed. Whatever. People do that. I'm not saying they don't. But these people who are appointed to these positions are supposed to be exemplary in terms of their moral stature.
Yeah, I agree, Jeff. I completely get where you're coming from. But to me, if he did the right thing in that job for the country and what America needs our AG to do right now, I don't care if there's a video of him naked in the middle of 15 women, you know, high on drugs. I don't care. As long as he gets in there and does the right thing, you know, do it. Because at this point, things are just so far gone. I mean, here we are seriously concerned about nuclear World War III. Because of these people and they're evil and the stuff they're doing. You know, I think that you need to be a good moral character to do these things and to stand against these people, but I'm just not worried about that level of stuff because, I mean, Gaetz is married, he has a beautiful wife, he's functional, he is cognizant, he is sharp, he is aggressive. He apparently he doesn't look like some hobo. I mean, he's clean shaven in a nice suit, well dressed, speaking articulately, you know. Let's be honest, you know, we know more about who's doing this and who's doing that with the ladies and all that stuff because of the way things are. But you know, this stuff went on in the '50s. It went on in the '40s. It went on in the '30s.
Always. Just in, part of the territory. I get it.
Yeah.
But
you didn't hear about it.
In these days and these times, those kinds of things are now public knowledge. Often, Tom Homan.
Right.
Let me go back to that. Tom Homan.
And on top of that, and these days, it's almost standard. They're going to make that type of thing up about you, whether it's true or not. The left is going to take whatever they think will stick. Whatever they look at you, and as soon as they see you, they're like, "What lie could I tell about this person that people would be more likely to believe?" And that's what they're going to hit with.
Of our listeners recall some of the slings and arrows that have been launched at me by various Jewish organizations over the years. Fine, let them talk. Let them throw their garbage. It doesn't matter. It's not true. Simple. Tom Homan, though, his family is currently not living at home due to death threats. This is not good. It's another commentary on that 50-50 split that we're looking at in this country. There are a lot of people who still hate everything that's going on. They hate it. They hate Trump. They hate all of it. And I don't know if they're going to be quiet and go away, or they're going to be organized and manifest a lot of very unpleasantry in this country. We're going to see. It's coming. There's a lot of chaos.
Well, there's a lot
ahead.
Of changes going on, and a lot of their stuff is in decline and chaos right now. The left, I mean, Biden's still in there, but a lot of their leadership has collapsed. So, you know, the momentum is with those who won, the Republicans and the conservatives. And it's ours to give up, and they're trying to turn it. They want to turn it, and we can't let it turn like it did last time when Trump came out and gave the momentum away, saying, "Oh, I'm not going to lock Hillary up. I was just joshing around." Gave up the momentum.
George W. Bush said the same thing on his first day in office. Others have too. I'm not going back there. I'm not going to go after such and such and try and bring charges. No, we have to move forward. That's what you're talking about. I know.
Well, in Trump's case, as soon as he gave up his momentum, trying to be magnanimous or whatever he was doing, whatever he thought was going to happen, they started hitting him with the Russia thing, and he never stopped playing defense. From that point forward, he was on defense for the next four years.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
We need to take what he has a mandate to deport 20 million illegal aliens or push them out of the country. He has a mandate to clean up the food supply. He has a mandate to cut into government spending. And he has a mandate to put a stop to the censorship, the big tech censorship. And
don't forget to get rid of the Department of Education. That is not necessary. These are states' issues. There should be no federal Department of Education. That should go. I'll see if Linda McMahon does anything about that. He's appointed her.
Let me tell you, McMahon is apparently went through my alma mater of East Carolina University. And she also was at one point a while back went to Havelock, North Carolina, went to Havelock High School. And so she's got a lot of roots here in North Carolina and from around us. And I have no idea what type of Secretary of Education she will make if confirmed. But, you know, it's good to see.
She's a hell of an executive, so let's hope that transmits right to the DOE and cleans it out. It's got to go. It should just be dissolved. It should be one of the things that Ramaswamy and Musk could get rid of as a government bureaucrat.
Next Wednesday, I'm going to be eating turkey and collards. I'm not going to be with you and your wonderful people, but I wish everybody a very happy Thanksgiving next week. And I hope everybody enjoys their holiday. Yes. Well, next Wednesday's Thanksgiving Eve, and I will be out of pocket. But I look forward to seeing you on the other side of the holiday, my friend.
Thank you. Thank you. Have fun. Take care. And we'll deal with this $10,000. I want to, when you get your check, be sure and let me know.
I will if it happens. Me too. We'll make it a running gag until he pays up. World's richest man owes me a check.
Oh, we like that. That's good. All right.
Take care.
Take care. Talk soon.
Happy.
Right. Thank you. Okay, we'll pause and come right back. We're going to take a look at today's really astonishing attack on Russia by the U.S., the U.K., France, and Ukraine. And what does it mean? Why is there a major news blackout in this country about these two consecutive days of missile attacks on Russia? What's really going on? Stand by. We'll be back.